This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
Whatever generation you're from, millennial, Generation X, baby boomer, greatest generation, you've probably heard yourself described in a certain way as having distinctive traits, personalities, work attitudes maybe, all based on the era you grew up in. Like these guys in the movie Reality Bites, Ethan Hawke and Winona Ryder in the defining movie of my generation.
You see, lady, this is all we need. A couple of smokes, a cup of coffee, and a little bit of conversation.
The coffee drinking, smoking, talking Gen Xers. I actually never saw that movie.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
You should see it. Well, there are a lot of stereotypes like that in pop culture, and plenty of consultants ready to explain how the generations work, shop, and act differently.
Just one problem. According to our next guest, it's all pretty much rubbish. Rebecca Onion joins us now. She's a cultural historian at the University of Ohio and history writer at Slate.com. We've got a link to her piece on Eon.com called We Need to Ditch Generational Labels. We've got that linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Rebecca, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what kind of things do we think we know about these different generations? What kind of claims are being made about them?
Well, as you sort of mentioned, there's a sort of raft of generalizations about the way that generations have collective personalities, sort of the idea that, the greatest generation is sort of brave and stalwart, and boomers are transcendental and psychedelic, and sort of like outward thinking, that Gen Xers have, some kind of problem with authority, maybe, depends on who you ask. And then, of course, the millennials were the people that, it seems like the youngest generation is always the one that people want to talk about the most. So there's sort of a bunch of generalizations about millennial entitledness or laziness or, addiction to social media, you name it.
And you say that a lot of these labels are kind of vague. They're not much more useful than a horoscope. You can kind of read yourself into any of them. Is that, though, what makes them stick, that they are so vague?
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, I think it's really fun to self-define. I mean, I enjoy reading horoscopes and thinking about the ways in which I am and am not a Libra. And for the same reason, I sort of, I'm like a borderline Gen X, Gen Y person, and I enjoy thinking about the ways in which I might or might not be like that. But I think I have a problem with it when it comes to, a label like that sort of influencing the way that you think about other people or the way that you would treat a group of other people or the way that you would approach them when it comes to public policy or business or education. Because it's so general.
Yeah, so unlike a horoscope, businesses are using these labels or trying to. There are consultants out there for marketing, for managing personnel. What kind of claims are made about how useful, how important these labels are in a business setting?
Well, I think huge claims, and it's there's a lot of money being paid. There's a lot of money in it, I guess, if you are a consultant who will talk about how to reach different generations or how to categorize generational personalities. I think because, people are desperate to especially sell to young people, there is a special market for talking about millennials and what they might want or what they might do. And I just think, there's we have such a diverse society, if you think about it for 2 seconds, becomes evident to me that there are as many groups of millennials as there are groups of people in general, and that each of them is experiencing the special things that are happening to their generation in different ways.
Are there any aspects of this, though, that might be true? Say, if you look at an absolute metric, like millennials, more millennials buy mason jars than Gen Xers. Would that be something if you look at a hard number like that?
They love their mason jars, these kids.
Supposedly today. They do. I do not make this up. Well, it might be. But anyway, what do you think about if you look at a hard number?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have necessarily a problem. I mean, I think there's like there's a reinforcement that happens with that, right? Like there are some numbers like that, but then they're sort of bandied about as evidence to direct, future business activity. So there's a chicken and egg effect in some way. And I don't know. I mean, I think there are some things about the concept that make intuitive sense. So in my piece, I wrote about, for example, the idea that, a generation that experiences a war. You know, a generation. So say instead of talking about a generation, I like to use the word cohort instead, which is what sociologists use, which is sort of a more defined group. So, for example, the historian Robert Wall, who writes about the effect of World War I on Europeans in particular, he talked about the effect of World War I on British elites. So already he's like sort of narrowing and defining what happens. But, you know, once he's narrowed and defined, he is able to find some interesting things out about the way that, you know, participating in that war or seeing that war happen changed people's minds about things. But in order to do that, he has to look at a really small group of people and acknowledge that he's looking at a really small group of people.
Talking to Rebecca Onion, talking about generational labels, things like millennials, Gen Xers, things like that. She says they're not that useful, hard to make generalizations about these big groups. It seems sometimes, Rebecca, when I see statements made about a group of millennials or Gen Xers, whatever, it's talking about implicitly white, middle-class, educated members of that generation, and not anyone else necessarily within it. Do you think that tends to be what the implicit assumption is there?
Definitely. I mean, I think that's one of my biggest issues with it. I don't think that, you know, the idea that millennials are entitled, which, you know, I feel like is a very handy thing to say if you're mad at people who are young in some way. But you know, there's just so many people who don't feel that way, who, you know, are, you know, young people who are growing up without advantages, or who don't, you know, who don't have parents necessarily who are pushing them to do things, so they're not participating in this, like, programmatic youth culture that is another supposed, you know, characteristic of millennial life. And that is definitely a definition that focuses on sort of the privileged or the white or the wealthy in a way that excludes a lot of people, I think.
Well, another thing about these labels, it seems to me that they're largely negative traits associated with anything, and so it seems like it's become sort of an encoded way to criticize people older or younger than you are.
Yeah, we love to do that. yeah, I mean, I think there's a definite nostalgia to it. And, you know, it is interesting. I do feel like there's been a lot more criticism. I mean, you know, this is vague, but I feel like I spend a lot of time on the internet, and I feel like I see a lot of millennials criticizing baby boomers, for example, you know, criticizing upward, basically, instead of criticizing downward, which is the way that it usually seems to go. But there is definitely like an us versus them sort of attitude to it.
And going in the other direction, the sort of the what's wrong with kids these days, another problem you point out is that these generation labels can lead us to ignore other factors, like millennials get called, you know, maybe lazy for not getting jobs. Well, maybe they're not getting jobs because there aren't jobs out there. It's a bad job market. Yeah. And we overlook that if we just try to make generalizations.
Yeah, it's about, I mean, you know, there's a writer that I quote, Malcolm Harris. You know, he's a millennial who writes a lot about this kind of thing. And his argument is, you know, rather than looking at some vague idea of personality or archetype, like, we should be looking at the structures that define people's lives. So, you know, if you are an older person who would say something like, oh, well, why do people have, you know, student loan debt? I worked during the summer to put myself through college. There are hard numbers you can look at that show how much more difficult that would be to do today. You know, and in fact, for some colleges, it would be, you'd have to have a really lucrative job, possibly an illegal one, to make that happen. So, yeah, looking at those numbers puts it in perspective in a way that thinking about personality traits doesn't really do.
We're talking right now to Rebecca Onion about generational labels, things like baby boomers, the greatest generation, Gen X, and millennials. She says there have been a lot of generalizations about differences between those generations, but she says the labels aren't really that useful.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see differences between generations, maybe in your family or at your workplace? Do you feel like these labels overstate the case, that there are more differences, say, within a generation? And which of these groups are you a part of? Do you think the stereotypes you've heard actually fit your reality? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with cultural historian Rebecca Onion, looking at generational labels, things like, you know, Gen X, Millennial, Baby Boomer. Our guest says these labels, the generalizations people attach to them, don't really tell us much, and we should stop using them.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you've been misrepresented or unfairly judged because of the generation that you're a part of? Do you think these labels are useful? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to our callers. We've got John on the line in Milwaukee. John, hi.
How you doing, sir?
Good. What do you think?
I don't think labeling things can sometimes be a good thing. But as far as the, if it's a personal attack or something like that, that's one thing. But it's, I'm Catholic. My wife and kids are Native. There's a lot of things that people say about Catholics, a lot of things that people say about Natives. But if my actions and my behaviors show that we don't fall into some of these stereotypes or some of these things that people would bash, those actions are changing it and maybe giving those other people different perspective on how to look at things rather than boo-hooing about it. Because that's how it seems with a lot of people of different generations, and I'll say with this younger generation, there's a lot of kids that are boo-hooing about it, but they're not doing anything to really make a change or are actually living those stereotypes.
Gotcha, John. Thanks a lot for the call. So millennials in particular, you're saying if they're not happy with these labels and stereotypes, live outside them and demonstrate something different, I guess he's saying, Rebecca.
Sounds like it. I mean, I think that there are some cases in which that definitely works. There is a personal one-on-one relationship you have with people in the workplace or people in your family that might change your opinion. But I also think there's a way that it seems to me that sometimes with these stereotypes, they're useful in some way. And it seems that people aren't that rational, I fear. Maybe they are in some cases, but it seems like there are some ways in which the adoption of a stereotype like this is something that's convenient for people to carry out. So, for example, if you're marketing to millennials, it might be easier just to sort of lump them all together than to try to say, well, you know, actually, I know someone who is 17 and doesn't have access to the internet at all, so I'm going to be different in the way that I think about it.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, John. Yeah. We're going to move next to Josh in West Bend. Josh, hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hey, so I guess my thought on this is the whole labeling thing is just another way to divide us as a society. I see a lot of this divide and conquer kind of stuff, and I just feel like the labeling of the generations is another way of doing it.
All right. Well, thank you for your thoughts there, Josh. And Rebecca, do you think these are ultimately divisive, maybe actually causing real harm?
I mean... You know, this is obviously my personal opinion, but I agree. I mean, I think that there's a, especially maybe sort of economically, there's a lot of, the stereotype that millennials don't work hard. I do think that there are ways that stereotype works to keep us from thinking about the actual economic situation that they're in, which is obviously our economic situation too. You know, they don't live in a separate economy. And so I think this point is well taken, that there are ways that thinking about it as a stereotype keeps us from thinking about ourselves as a unified situation, unified society.
Talking to Rebecca Onion about generational labels. We've got an article she wrote on the topic over at the Central Time Facebook page. She says terms like millennials, baby boomers, and the assumptions that we carry along with them really do maybe more harm than good. And something that surprised me, Rebecca, reading your piece, is I thought this is a fairly new thing, that recent generations came up with this stuff. You trace this backwards. We've been making these labels and assumptions and pushing back against them for a couple centuries now.
Yeah, people started talking about this in the late 19th century in Europe. There's historians and writers who sort of made it their intellectual project to think about it. And this is, this happened a lot because they're, you're so confused by all the revolutions going on and the turmoil in their cultures and societies that they were trying to figure out how to understand it and categorize it. And so, yeah, so there's an article that I mentioned in the piece that was written in the 20s that already has a huge bibliography of people talking about what it means to be in a generation. So it's been, we've been talking about it for a while now with no conclusions.
We're going to go back to our phones now. We've got Steve on the line in Maquanago. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I was calling. I've been reading some of Jean Twenge's work on Generation Me, where she does a lot of statistical work on characteristics and attitudes of millennials and so forth. And there seems to be a lot of evidence that there's is profound differences in way of thinking about the world and attitudes and approaches. And does our speaker, I'd like to know what she thinks about that, because it seems to be kind of compelling. And if the whole business world does orient itself around the fact that different age groups and different peoples have trends, there must be some truth to it. What we do to it and to what extent we do something with it we might debate, but that there's some basic truth to it seems to me to be well documented.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate your call, Steve. And Rebecca, is there some truth, you know, amidst the things you have difficulty with, is there some underlying truth in these generational differences? Maybe some demographic things that are clear to see if you look at the numbers?
Yes. I mean, I think with any, I haven't read the book that the caller referred to, and I'm looking at the webpage right now, but it looks like I haven't looked at the survey that she used, so I can't assess whether or not it seems, you know, methodologically correct. I'm going to assume that the caller has assessed it for his own purposes and thinks that it is. And I think that there, as with anything, it depends on the questions that you're asking and who you're asking. You know, if the surveys are, you know, worded in such a way that the people who are taking them understand what they're being asked and respond in a way that, you know, is consonant with what the person who wrote the survey is trying to assess, you know, if the groups being surveyed are of a wide socioeconomic range and a wide, you know, have ethnic and racial diversity and live in rural and urban areas, you know, all these caveats, you know, there are, if those standards are met, then sure, you know, if you want to look at that data in that way, I think you can. I don't know. I don't know enough about this book to be able to speak on it specifically.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave it there. Rebecca, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That was Rebecca Onion, cultural historian at the University of Ohio and writer for Slate. Her piece on generational labels is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.